Reading from 3 Kings chapter 3.
Devahuti's Lamentation, text 57.
Devahuti speaking to Cardinal Moody. The scene is that Cardinal Moody is about to leave home. We'll go into the scene more and its dynamics. And let's hear the words of Devahuti as she concludes her presentation to her husband. What is the purpose of this presentation? Please stay. Don't go. You have not completed your household mission. But she puts the blame upon herself rather than accusing her husband. My lord, she's speaking to Cardinal Moody, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which is liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. Purport. An intelligent man should utilize good opportunities. The first opportunity is the human form of life, and the second opportunity is to take birth in a suitable family where there is cultivation of spiritual knowledge. This is rarely attained. The greatest opportunity is to have the association of a saintly person. Devahuti was conscious that she was born as the daughter of an emperor. She was sufficiently educated and cultured, and at last she got Cardinal Moody, a saintly person and a great yogi, as her husband. Still, if she did not get liberation from the entanglement of material energy, then certainly she would be cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy. Actually, the illusory material energy is cheating everyone. People do not know what they are doing when they worship the material energy in the form of Goddess Kali or Durga for material boons. They ask, Mother, give me great riches, give me a good wife, give me fame, give me victory. But such devotees of the Goddess Maya or Durga do not know they are being cheated by that Goddess. Material achievement is actually no achievement, because as soon as one is illusioned by the material gifts, he becomes more and more entangled, and there is no question of liberation. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets for the purpose of spiritual realization. That is called Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Whatever we have, we should use as service to the Supreme Person. It is advised in Bhagavad Gita, Sakarmana Tarapyarkya. One should try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's assets. There are many forms of service to the Supreme Lord, and anyone can render service unto him according to the best of his ability. Om Jnana Tirulambasya Jnanam Jana Shalaka Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The Lamentation of Devahuti. Generally, we're not interested in hearing about lamentations unless we sympathize with the person and we want to help them with our sympathy. Oh, that happened. It's really too bad. I understand. Yes, life is like that. Never mind. Keep on pushing. Keep struggling.
the Lamentation of Devahuti is chock full of spiritual instruction, spiritual values, and spiritual benefit. And we very happily listen to Devahuti's lamentation, because in her lamentation is the way to increase our bhakti. That is the difference between material and spiritual lamentation. Material lamentation, singing the blues, moaning and groaning, oh, woe is me, oh, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh. I'm not how it goes. Serves me right to suffer. Material lamentation is actually a subtle form of sense gratification. Oh me, oh my, oh. It's a feeling of massaging your false ego. Spiritual lamentation, however, increases service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Increases our focus on Krishna. The songs of Narottam Das Thakur are perfect models of spiritual lamentation. Manusha Janamaya Radha Krishna Nabhajaya. I uselessly wasted my evil form of life. I did not serve Radha and Krishna. I willfully drank poison. We are happy to hear such lamentation. Whereas in material life, according to the material conception, you should be around upbeat people who have an appetite for material achievement. You should associate with those who are committed to being upwardly mobile. And that way, who knows? By your social acquaintances, you may get that connection that will lead you higher and higher in your material ascent. It's like, I know things are a little different in Canada, but due to the economic crunch in New York City, for example, it's not that you simply have to work hard in order to keep your job amidst constant downsizing, layoffs. While working hard to keep your place in the race, you also, in your off hours from work, have to invest significant time in social networking so that you have contacts in case you lose your job. So it's not enough to work. You have to work and network. You can't just go home and relax. And if you're not disciplined, and if you lose sight of what is the goal of life, you can't just go home and chant Hare Krishna for your own survival, according to your vision of survival. You have to get out and network and meet persons and constantly churn the new possibilities for economic advancement, because you don't know any moment you could lose your job, and without networking you'll be left cold with no leads. Our bhakti depends on associating spiritually upwardly mobile persons. Association is so important, as you know. Devahuti is now lamenting, I had the jewel of association, but I didn't take advantage. Therefore, conclusion, I've been solemnly cheated by the insurmountable Lucy energy of the Lord. For in spite of having such a divine husband, his association can give liberation from material bondage. I did not seek such liberation. She's blaming herself. I was just caught up in that physical, emotional thing. It's actually not so, but a devotee is always humble. And we never feel that we have served Krishna enough. We have chanted Hare Krishna as best as we can. There's always something lacking. As Lord Chaitanya himself said, if you happen to see tears in my eyes while I'm chanting, you should know it's only a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago from separation. In Krishna's intimate pastimes, his most intimate devotees berate themselves. How is it I'm still living and Krishna's not here? This shows my hard-heartedness. Why doesn't my body reflect the disaster that Krishna is not around? So let's see how this scene started. Kardama Muni is anxious to bring a termination to his household life. In order to have an empowered family, he spent 10,000 years in meditation and austerities before marrying. You have a marriage today? Who are the lucky ones? Are they here? Your husband-to-be is here? Where? 10,000 years of meditation and austerity? Karamuni had been ordered by his father, Brahma, to expand the population. But expanding the population doesn't mean quantity, as people think today. In many countries, the government will give you very handsome stipends if you will expand the population. In Australia, you get $5,000 every time you have a child, and then I think it's about $200 in your bank account every week automatically for every child you have. So some devotees, that's their business. Why work? Just have a box. There must be quality population. Due to his austerities, due to his pure devotional attitude, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared to him at his meditation spot. Standing, the Lord was standing on the shoulders of Garuda. Kardama Muni offered his prayers that only a foolish person, after seeing your form, after attaining you, would request something for his material life. This is his humility. Only a fool would do that. Someone who's actually intelligent, they simply absorb themselves in the nectar of hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's enough. But for the rest of us, my Lord, allow me to ask you for a suitable wife. A veritable cow of plenty in my household. And the Lord replied, I have known about your desire even before you asked. Let me tell you what's going to happen. In just a few days, Swayambhu Manu is going to come with his wife, and they have a daughter who the Lord himself described. She's very beautiful. Krishna is supreme and beautiful. He can describe most eloquently the beauty of his parts and parcels. She's got black eyes. She's exquisite. Krishna knows how to get the devotional service going. Encouraging according to time, place, and circumstances, each devotee's individual proclivities and the mission the Lord wants that devotee to live. Just like Krishna encouraged Arjuna on the Kshatriya platform, according to Kshatriya Dharma. Of course, he would also speak the pure bhakti, but just to show you that there is a spiritual and a material aspect to society, Krishna told Arjuna, remember, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. That's not a pure devotional motivation. That's Kshatriya Dharma, Varnashrama. That's how you motivate Kshatriyas. They'd rather die than be dishonored.
Of course,
Arjuna is a far higher category of being Krishna's eternal associate. So, Krishna inspires Karmuni. I've known about your desire. I know it's in your heart. She's coming. She's heard about you. She's already mesmerized by your qualities. Krishna's matchmaking here. Indeed, after a few days, Devahuti, accompanied by her mother and father, arrived. And they married. Although the daughter of an emperor, she served Karmamuni very menially. She's used to living in a palace. Karmamuni lives in a hut on the bank of a river, and he's always absorbed in meditation and austerities. So she adopted the lifestyle of her husband and served him, even at the expense of her high fashion and exquisite beauty and delicate appearance. Karmamuni became affected, of course, by this assistance for his spiritual life. And he spoke to her with a choking voice. Oh, you have served me so nicely. What would you like? And she replied with a choking voice. Yes. Bhagavatam is not some metaphysical text devoid of emotional dynamics. You can see that. Karmamuni and Devahuti. Karmamuni, he's feeling the heartfelt affection, appreciation. Just like we should appreciate any devotee who has helped us in our service, in our attempt to be Krishna conscious. Recently I met a devotee I hadn't seen for ages. I knew him from early days in New York, 1973, and as a new devotee, I thought that he did some things to help me. So I thanked him profusely. How many years later? Almost 40 years later. And he, of course, devotee is humble. He was like, what? What did I do? Huh? Devotees are so wonderful because they're so unselfish. They're not self-centered. What? Oh, you think I did that? Oh, okay. He was, you know. It's like I remember 1973. Bhakti Mara Maharaj was a brahmachari. I told him this image just sticks in my mind. He would come through with a traveling Sankirtan party. And there they were in the austere brahmachari ashram of the Brooklyn Temple, the famous Brooklyn Temple on Henry Street in New York, in which the temple president would always keep the heat way down so that it would be more cold inside than outside, and that way the devotees would stay out in Santa Claus. Devotee care back in the early days. Sometimes there'd be a broken window and the snow would blow into the ashram. Yeah, we didn't think to fix it. We just thought, oh, that's all part of bhakti. So there was the future Bhakti Maharaj with his Sankirtan party. And they were going through Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, the chapters where there's the list of the branches of the tree, Chaitanya, Vichananda, Dvaita, so on and so forth. All those names, you know, those of you who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita?
I hope someone's read Chaitanya Charitamrita.
If you haven't, your life has not been successful. So, he was just reading all these names with such relish. They were actually trying to memorize all the names. So as a young brahmachari, I was like, wow, imagine this guy. These prabhus are into it. Those things stick out. Of course, I don't know if Maharaj remembers. Do you remember? Yeah. You didn't know that you were being It was being recorded in someone's memory. Things like that, you pick up on. Just see how these devotees are absorbed. They're just reading names and trying to memorize names. So, Narada Muni appreciates his wife's austerities to the point that his voice is choked up. And for a man to show emotions, not an ordinary thing. Ladies show emotions very easily. It's not that men aren't emotional, it's just it's buried deep down inside. Actually, some people say men are actually more emotional than women. It's just buried so deep. So, he spoke very emotionally, asked her what do you want, and she replied with emotion and reverence. And she reminded him that we need some children. Of course, that was the mission that Brahma had given to Karma Muni. And so, they changed their lifestyle from yogic austerities